Hi, it's Ian Pickus. We are back in the Congressional Corner today with New York Congressman Paul Tonko, a Democrat in office since 2009. Congressman Tonko, welcome back.
Thank you, Ian. It's great to be with you and always a pleasure to share the show with you.
You know, we talked after the election, but this is our first time speaking since the new Congress began, and you have some new committee assignments. What are your feelings about the first couple of months so far?
I think they've been very hectic, very painful for the district. You know, there's a pell-mell outcome there to cut across the board in without really knowing what those impacts are. I think that there needs to be more sensitivity shown. There needs to be a more academic approach rather than this all-out frenzy to reduce agencies. In fact, with the Department of Education, they're proposing to close it, and the president keeps pushing for that to be sooner rather than later. And then a lot of important cuts in areas that, you know, in the Environmental Protection Agency, where they cut deeply into programs that address the climate situation and innovation and research in many of the agencies, and also an onslaught of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is there to protect people from unfair and unnecessary fees and fraud and whatever. So, you know, just a real concern about where we're going with this aggressiveness of cutting without really realizing the painful impact on districts across the country.
One thing you have done in response is to reintroduce the Scientific Integrity Act. What would it do, and does it have any likelihood of getting a hearing?
Well, you know, I'm hoping we can. I've talked to, you know, folks on the Energy and Commerce Committee on Science and Tech about the importance of science, and we're hoping that people will see the importance of it, that it you know, really speaks to flaws in both Democratic and Republican administrations in the past. It would require federal agencies that fund or direct public science to establish and maintain clear scientific integrity principles and to formalize these policies and strengthen them with the force of law. It clarifies that science should determine policy free from any inappropriate politics, ideology, or financial conflicts of interest, or just maneuvering politically to change the results. And it would hold public scientists to the highest standards while guaranteeing their rights and protections. If we're going to utilize science, and we need to embrace science to be, I think, cutting edge in our policy development, science-based, evidence-based policy initiatives, I think, are where it needs to be. And when you mess with the science research, when you try to mischaracterize, misrepresent the results, or outright change them, that's troubling. So this would establish standards across the federal agencies that fund taxpayer dollars for research. And I think it's a way to honor that hard-earned taxpayer dollar to make certain that the public is getting exactly what it should be getting, and that we as policymakers apply that science discovery or conclusion in ways we see fit, but do not manipulate the data.
Well, let me zoom out just a little bit. There's, as you say, so much going on in Washington. It's definitely been a flurry of action since January 20th. Big picture, what do you say to the argument that the American people kind of knew what Trump wanted to do, and they voted for him? Project 2025 was not a secret. It was available. He's offering in this second term a lot of hardline measures and extreme cuts that he ran on, and now it seems to be taking place. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that whenever he was asked during the campaign about Project 2025, he disavowed any knowledge or awareness of the report.
Are you saying it's possible that Trump wasn't telling the truth?
I think there's credibility on the line here because, you know, near the end he was saying, I've seen or I've heard some of the findings of the report or the recommendations. Some are dangerous, some are not, you know, but and now it turns out that we're going to have a budget director that from the federal side that you know, really was in large measure the architect of that Project 2025 study. And I find that disconcerting. And others who
I talked
to in the district.
That's Russell Vogt, just to fill in listeners. Yep.
Yeah, and, you know, I think also when I talked to constituents in the district who had supported President Trump, they didn't believe he would go as deep as this. They didn't think he would be basically doing everything that he mentioned. I don't know why he got a pass on that, but it seems to be people were trusting that he would really focus on the economy and on inflation. And, you know, the pledge during the campaign was, I'll reduce inflation day one and we'll reduce costs. Now we find that cost of eggs have not only gone down, have not gone down, but have gone up. The housing issues are expected to go up because of these tariffs that he's looking to apply. He's raising costs, not lowering them. The recent tariff applied to steel is going to be a dangerous outcome for our auto industry and for construction. So, you know, it's not really keeping in within the message that he had mentioned, and I don't think anyone anticipated a lot of this activity that's going on with the shutting of the agencies and, you know, the outright crushing the mission of many of these agencies. Nowhere was that expected to be as severe as it is. And the one concern of attacking Medicaid, that one still exists, which could be very painful for those who, from childbirth to those who are residents in our nursing homes. So a huge impact there. But he needs to go back to, I believe, the message of cutting costs. We have been trying to introduce measures that would cut costs and help respond to that message that was so much repeated by the electorate out there.
Now, you held a press conference on Wednesday after the Republicans released their budget proposal. So specifically, what are your objections to it?
Well, you know, their efforts to go forward with the reauthorization of the 2016 tax cut is troublesome. I voted against that package in 2016. Their desire now to continue it after its proposed sunset is a stark reminder that 83% of the 2016 tax cut went to the top 1%. And that their plan here would increase federal debt by $2.5 trillion at a time when he campaigned that he would reduce debt. So I think it's a betrayal of the middle class, and that is troublesome. That's the heartbeat of America. It's the strength of America. It's the ingenuity. And how fares the middle class is how the country fares. So I'm concerned about that. Looking at deep, deep cuts, as you know, when I asked to be on the budget committee, and the request was granted. And so this will be my return after about 10 years to the budget committee.
That's right.
I was removed when I was named to the Energy and Commerce Committee. But, you know, each of the standing committees, especially the larger committees with more agency impact within their turf, will get allotments of how much to cut. Energy and Commerce, on which I serve, along with budget, is going to be asked to cut $880 billion, nearly $1 trillion. And the talk is that it's going to come out because we do health on Energy and Commerce. Medicaid falls under our umbrella. And that $880 billion, nearly $1 trillion, is all going to be applied, I'm told, to Medicaid. That is going to be disastrous. You think of so many seniors in our communities that are Medicaid, Medicare eligible as they enter a nursing home or soon thereafter. What is going to happen to that population? You don't put people into the streets. You have to be cognizant of what this revenue stream means. Medicaid is the largest revenue stream for mental health services, and it is applicable to all age groups, from those in childbirth years, individuals who are delivering children, over to hospital revenue streams and our senior community, again, or disabled community that is living in an institutional setting like a nursing home.
We've been speaking with Paul Tonko, a Democrat from New York's 20th House District, in office since 2009, and as you can hear, on the defense. When we come back the next time, Congressman Tonko, let's pick up right there.
Thank you.